Today's shiur is Masech Desait Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph right at the beginning of the Omid. We had learned in the previous shiur that on different occasions during the Nesias Kapayim, we'll learn a Mitzvah Shem later in the shiur, at what point Psukim was said by the Tzibur, by the community who was receiving the Bracha. Says the Gemara B'Nila de Yom Kippur Maya Omer, what Brachas was said by Nila on Yom Kippur? Is one pasuk. The next pasuk is Yivarecha Hashem Tzion Urei Metuv Yerushalayim Kol Yemei Chayecha, and the next pasuk is Urei Vanel Vanecha Shalom Yisrael. Tosfos asks that Yom Kippur wasn't only the time that they said Nila. In those times, as we learned in Masechta the Tainus, whenever they decreed a fast day because of a famine or a drought, Nila was said. So why does the Mishnah speak, why does the Gemara speak specifically about Nila the Yom Kippur? So the simple teretz is, because there isn't always going to be one of those fast days. Those fast days are only under special circumstances. Yom Kippur, we have Nila every year. Another teretz is that not in all locations was the Ni'ilah. Ni'ilah was only in Eretz Yisrael. On Yom Kippur, there's Ni'ilah everywhere. Another teretz is because the Paiskim discuss that in some communities with a duchened Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur, Mincha, they don't duchen. They don't say Nesias Kapayim. So what the Gemara is trying to say is, by Ni'ilah we say Nesias Kapayim, but not by Mincha. The Paiskim also discuss, as we spoke about earlier in our sugyas about Nesias Kapayim, that since Nesias Kapayim is compared to Avoida, and we know that Avoida is disqualified if it's done at night, so too Nesias Kapayim may not be said at night. And therefore, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, where they do Nesias Kapayim by Nila and Yom Kippur, according to most Rishonim and Paiskim, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef hold, they have to be careful to do Nesias Kapayim when it's still day. And in fact, they have an issue because they finish the Nesias Kapayim, but the fast is not yet over and there really isn't much left to daven. The Maril, however, does say that Ni'ilah Yom Kippur, Nesias Kapayim is said, and it's said even by night. L'halacha, as I said, it's supposed to be said by day, but the Paiskim are somewhat lenient, and there are Paiskim that say, even though by day means before Shkia, even Bein HaShmoshes, there are Paiskim, the Kaf HaChaim discusses this, that Nesias Kapayim could be said. The Darkei Moshe, the Ramah says, that we don't do Nesias Kapayim by Yom Kippur Ni'ilah, but the Gra explains the Ramah, that the Ramah is saying this according to our Minig in Chutz Loretz, that we don't say Nesias Kapayim, we only say Nesias Kapayim very rarely, Yontif, by Musaf. In Eretz Yisrael, where we know Nesias Kapayim is said on a much more frequent basis, says the Gra, even the Ramah would agree that Nesias Kapayim should be said by Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Heichen Amram, we've been discussing all of these brachas that are said, all of these tefilos that are said, where exactly are they said? Rabbi Yosef Amar ben Kol Bracha Bracha. Between each of the brachas, that's when these psukim are said. Sheshes Amar, they're said Baskaras Hashem, when the people hear the Kohanim mention Hashem's name. And the Mefarsh explained the basis of the Machlokes. One man Dhamma says that the main thing is that we want to show respect to Hashem's name, and therefore the tefillah should be said then. The other man Dhamma says that we want to show, we don't want to interrupt in the middle of the bracha, and therefore it should be said being called bracha bracha. Another machloikis, pligabara meri revzvid, charama psukal kal psukah, the three psukim in Brikus Kohanim, the three psukim that are mentioned each time. So for each bracha, the Brikus Kohanim, there's a corresponding pasuk. For charamar, a kol psuka amla lekula. For every one of the brachas of the Brikus Kohanim, all of the three psukim are said. And again, the question boils down to how much respect and how much do we want to show our reaction to the Brikus Kohanim. Says the Gemara, Amar Chibar Abba, Kala Amar Begvulin, if somebody says these psukim in Chutz Laretz, in Elataya, he's making an error. Amar Chen Bebhapa, Teda, the Bemigdash Namil Boil Mimira. Really, even in the Beis Hamikdash, they should not be said. Why? Because klum yesh l'cha eved shemavarchan oisai vein amazin. It's inappropriate, he holds, that the brachas, that we should be saying psukim, we should really just be paying attention to kohanim saying brikas kohanim. On the other hand, Amar of Ach Bachanina, Teda, he says just the opposite, the beguvulin nami boilim memrana. Really, even in Chutz Laretz, they should be said, because Klum Yesh Eved, isn't it appropriate that if we hear a bracha, Shemavachan Esoi, Venimaz B'panim, that we don't react and thank for the bracha. L'haloch L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch says that psukim should not be said when during Birkus Kahanim. It's only specifically for the Beis HaMikdash, where we know the Shem HaMefayrish was used. Other Paiskim disagree, and they say that the Rama says that Birkus Kahanim, the Psukim can be said, but he himself is not sure, and in fact he indicates perhaps it shouldn't be said, so really many people have different Menhagim. The Mishnah Berurah says that it should not be said. The people who ever do say it, the Paiskim say, should not say the Brachas. We see that are printed in the Sidurim and Machzorim, the Psukim that are printed there, should not be said when the Kahanim is saying the words. We know that every word of the Birkus Kahanim is said twice, once by the Shlich Tzibur and once by the Kahanim, and the people who are saying the Brachas, saying the Psukim, should say it quietly, and should say it when the Shlich Tzibur is saying the words of the Birkus Kahanim, not when the Kohanim is saying it. However, the Mepharshim ask, we know that the Gemara says, in Masechta Brachas, if somebody is concerned that he may have had a bad dream, what should he do? So the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that during Birkus Kahanim should say, Ribbono Shel Olam, he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, chalamti v'ein yedei mahu, I had a cholam, I had a dream and I don't know what it's all about. Rotzon fanecha, and there's an entire tefillah which we're familiar with. And the question is, how come we could say that Ribbono Shel Olam, if we're saying now that we're not supposed to say brachas, we're not supposed to say psukim during Birkus Kahanim. So according to Alminig, it's really not that much of a question, because Alminig is that we say these tefillos when the Kahanim are singing. So it's not really while words of Birkus Kahanim are being said. However, I saw two other terutzim why it could be said. One is, as we know from Masechta Brachos, a bad dream could reflect a sakana, and therefore it's appropriate to say the tefillah. It's a question of sakana. Another teretz that I saw is that the entire concern Al Gemara is articulating in saying psukim during Birkus Kahanim is because it's not really showing proper respect. But this, on the contrary, shows tremendous respect, how during Birkus Kahanim we have the opportunity to show that we really value to such a great degree Birkus Kahanim, that we recognize that Birkus Kahanim is the time that we can be mispalel and know that our tefillos will be answered. Amr v'avua, Meresh Avminalu, at the beginning I saw Kim de Chazina, Meresh Avminalu. At the beginning I used to say the psukim. However, Kim de Chazina le Rab Abedim and Akka, once I met Rab Abedim and Akka, the Loy Amalahu, that didn't say this psukim, and not Nami Lo Aminalhu, I also stopped saying them. Says the Gemara, Vamar Bavu, Mereish Havamina, Ivisnoano. At the beginning, I considered myself very modest. And Mepharshim asked the obvious question. A modest person calls himself modest, where's the modesty? Many Trutzim are given. The Penya Yoda says that the person didn't say it. He just thought it. He never articulated it clearly. Another pshat is that he didn't really consider this such a great madrega, because he felt if someone works on himself to become to come to the madrega of anivus, That's something that's inappropriate to say. He was just saying, I was born with a very modest personality, and therefore it's nothing to be so proud of. Another teretz that I saw is that he said it to show real modesty. He didn't want people to consider him modest. So how will he prevent people from considering him modest? By saying he's modest. So to say that's modesty, they consider him arrogant. Like that he'll accomplish his goal. Another teretz that I saw is that he didn't this is part of modesty. He didn't really consider being modest such a great thing. And that's why he says, I'm modest, everybody must be modest. What's the big deal? He didn't recognize how difficult and how special it is to be modest. Another teretz that I saw is that he was saying it to his Talmidim, because that's part of the job of a Rebbe, to train and teach his Talmidim. And he wanted to teach his Talmidim what's important in terms of characteristics, and the modesty is important. And the last teretz that we'll say is that false modesty is not really modesty. And that's what he was trying to say. You have to know where you stand in the world. I'm modest, and saying anything else is not correct. That's what I am. So he considered himself very modest. But once I met Rav Abba de Maka, as we've learned, the way it used to be when a shiur was given was that the Rav would say it not publicly. He would just say it to a meturgeman. And the meturgeman would then say it. And he says that Rav Abba Manaka had the following situation with his meturgeman. He would tell the meturgeman a halacha and a reasoning for the halacha. And the meturgeman would say something else altogether. And he didn't get upset. And we have here machlokes achroinim, how to understand the Gemara. Some achroinim say that it wasn't that the meturgeman didn't say his pshat. He said the pshat of Rav Abba de Manaka. He also added his own pshat. Others say that he ignored Rav Abba de Manaka's pshat, and he only said his own pshat. And what is the machloikis based on? So Mefarshim explained that the machloikis is based on the following. Rav Abba de Manaka, meturgeman, said something. And Rav Abba de Manaka thought that, you know what, his pshat is better than my pshat. And he was an onuf, and because he was an onuf, he said, if that's the better pshat, let that pshat be said. The other mandomer held that Rav Abba de Manaka wasn't ready to say that his pshat was wrong. So if the meturgeman would not have said Rav Abba de Manaka's pshat, Rav Abba de Manaka would have had to say something to him. You're not saying proper pshat. So what happened was, he said both pshatim, and Rav Abba de Manaka let him say it. Amin alav, amisnosana. It must be that I'm not the greatest onuf, because Rav Abba Manaka is greater. Have says the Gemara, Omai imisnusid Rav Avuah, where do we see the modesty of Rav Avuah? Says the Gemara, Dharma la devisa da mar de Rav Avuah la devisa de Rav Avuah. The wife of Rav Avuah, the wife of the meturgeman of Rav Avuah, said to the wife of Rav Avuah, Hada don la tzarechle. Really, my husband, who is your husband's meturgeman, doesn't need your husband. My husband, the meturgeman, doesn't need Rav Avuah. For how the gochim is zakefle, he is the meturgeman. And the way it worked was that the meturgeman bent down to listen to what Rav Avuah said so he could repeat it publicly. He's only doing it yikra ba'almahud avle. He's only doing it because he wants to show respect to Rav Avuah. That's what most mefarshim learn. Some mefarshim explain, as we're going to learn soon, Rav Avuah was very close to the government, so everybody showed Rav Avuah a lot of respect because of it. So she said, my husband, the meturgeman, is showing disrespect to your husband because of his high government position. Also, Davisa, so Rav Avuah's wife came, Vamalei LeRav Avuah, came and repeated this conversation to her husband, Rav Avuah. Amalei, Amala, so Rav Avuah, instead of getting angry, said to her, "Amai nafkuch mino, what's the difference? Mina uminach iskalis alm. As long as this kvod shmayim, as long as people are learning, what's the difference if it's my what she says and who's getting the covered? The main thing is that people are learning." And I saw the Mefarshim explain that this Gemara is an important lesson for us. Whenever we have a situation where we have a potential fight, we have potential machlokes, What is the way to stop that from happening? What a person should think about is Kvod Shemayim. A person should recognize that our being in this world is just to increase Kvod Shemayim. Will this machloikis increase Kvod Shemayim, or this machloikis bring a Chilul Hashem? And typically, machloikis brings Chilul Hashem, and that's the way people will stop having machloikis. Continues the Gemara. V'su, Rebavua imnu Rabbanan alei lemen nebereisha. The Rabbanan had decided to appoint Rebavua to be Rosh Yeshiva. Kivin dechazei l'Rabbi de Menaka, but then he recognized that Rabbi Avad ben Akka, the Nefesh Le'Bal Chayvus, had a lot of debts. Amalo Ikka Rabba, there's somebody greater. Rabbi Avad ben Akka, don't appoint me, appoint him. Because the minig was that it was inappropriate, they felt, that the Rosh Yeshiva should be a person that doesn't have financial means. So they used to give the person who was appointed Rosh Yeshiva a significant financial stipend. And he wanted that Rabbi Avuah de Menaka, who had these debts, to be able to pay off his debts by getting this position. Mefarshim ask one question. The Gemara says that a position, a public position, is not a srora, should not be viewed as really something good. Abdus ani noisen lechem, it's considered really something that's difficult. So why is he giving it away? It's something that's not so great. The answer is, if it's an abdus or it's a srora, a person is only obligated to take it if he needs it for financial support. But certainly if a person doesn't need it to live off financially, he's not obligated to take it. But then I saw the Mefarshim ask another question. The Gemara says that whoever is appointed to a promotion, to a new position, all of his sins are forgiven. So the question is, how is Rebavua prepared to walk away from this appointment where we would have the opportunity to have Mechilas Avinus and give it away to Rav Avad Menachem? So I saw beautiful teretz. What did he do here? He was goyimul chesed. He did tremendous chesed to Rav Avad Menachem that he could help him creep out of his financial problems. You know what? The best way to have mechilas avoinus is by doing chesed with another Jew. So he walked away from the position not being worried about mechilas avoinus because he'll have the mechilas avoinus because he did another Jew a favor. Says the Gemara. Rav Chiba Abba came to a certain place. Rav Chiba darsh b'agadata. Rav Chiba said a drosh about agadata. Rav Chiba Abba darsh b'shmaitza. Rav Chiba Abba said a halacha shir, a lomda shashir. Shafik kula amal Rav Chiba Abba. Everybody left, didn't go to Rav Chiba Abba shir. Vazal gabe de Rav Chiba. And they went to Rav Chiba shir. Cholashtate. And Rav Chiba Abba felt very bad. So Mefarshim ask, what happened here? And why did he feel bad? So again, Mefarshim again is saying that our Gemara is here to teach us the tremendous modesty of Rav Avuah. So why did Rav Chiba Abba ask the Mefarshim get upset? As long as people went to learn, he shouldn't be upset. So one teretz I saw is that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu set up that Shabbos, Yontif, when people have time, they should sit and learn. Rav Chiba Abba, as we're going to learn in a moment, and the Gemara recognized that a Gadat Shir is a much easier Shir to understand than a Halacha Shir. Rav Chiba Abba was upset. He says, during the week, I could understand people don't have the time, don't have the ability to concentrate on a difficult Shir. But Shabbos, Yom Tov, they do have the time, the ability. And that's why he was upset why Rav Avuah took the people away from his Halacha Shir to an Gadat Shir. Another test that I saw was that he was upset at Rav Avuah because Rav Chiba Abba began saying the shir before Rav Avuah started saying the shir. And if Rav Avuah had not begun saying the shir, certainly everybody would have remained by Rav Chiba Abba. He was upset. Why did you start saying shir while I was already saying shir and schlepped the people away from me? And the third teretz that I saw, very important teretz, is that a magid shir obligation is to give a shir in a way that the Talmidim should understand the shir. Rav Chiba Abba saw that the people here had left listening his shir and started going to another shir. So he assumed that the reason was because he wasn't presenting the shir in a lucid manner that the Talmidim should be upset. So he was upset at himself that this is the kind of shir I'm giving that Talmidim don't understand. So Rav Avuah sees that Rav Chibar Abba is upset. What is this situation to be compared to? L'shnei bnei Adam, where you have two individuals. Echad moicher avonim tayvus. One has a store that sells diamonds. Vechad moicher minei tzidkis. And one sells pins and needles. Ami kaifsin. Who do people, which store do people frequent more? Loyal zeh shemoicher minei tzidkis. The one that sells pins and needles. The reason being, two reasons. Number one, pins and needles are more necessary to live. You can live without a diamond. And number two, they're more affordable. However, the Mefarshim say, he was sort of denigrating Agarata. So the Mefarshim say, Chas v'shalom, that's not what the Gemara means to say. Because as the Gemara, as the Medrash says, Im ritzoincha lahakar misha amir v'hoya oylem, if you want to recognize the one that created the world, learn Agarata. Agarata brings Yirah Shemayim. So Chas v'shalom, it wasn't Rav Avuah's intent in any way to denigrate the learning of Agarata. His intention here was to make Rav Chibar Abba feel that that's why people are easier to understand Agarata, and that's why they came to his shir. So his answer is a great answer. So why wasn't Rav Chibar Abba satisfied with his answer? So I saw a very nice pshat. Rav Chibar Abba said, you're right. If there are two stores, and one sells pins and needles, and one sells diamonds, you're going to have more customers in the pin and needle stores. But let's say you only have a diamond store, there is no other store, then the only store that there is to go to is the diamond store. That's what Rav Chibar Abba said. I understand that if there's going to be an Agarata shir, it's human nature that more people will go listen to that shir than to the Halacha shir. My issue with you is, why'd you open the store? If I would have been the only shir available, everybody would have come to my shir. So in order to appease Rav Chibar Abba, says the Gemara, Kol yom have a mlaver Rav Chibar Abba l'Ravu adishpizei. Every day after the shir, Rav Chibar Abba would escort Rav Abba to his home, Mishum Yikud Bekiser. As we learned earlier, Rav Avuah was close to the government, so out of respect, Rav Chibar Abba would escort him. Hahu yoma, but that day, Rav Chibar Abba was sort of upset at Rav Avuah, Alve Rav Avuah Rav Chibar Abba. Just the opposite. Rav Avuah escorted Rav Chibar Abba at a shpiza till his home. However, says the Gemara, Afila Hachi Laitasif Da'atamenei, Rav Chibar Abba was really not calmed down. Says the Gemara, Bizman Shlich Tziba Oim Moidim, during Chazar Sashatz, as the Shlich Tziba says, Moidim, Ho'am Mahim Oimrim. What does everybody say? So there's a very fundamental avudram in helping us understand the Gemara. The rest of Chazar Sashatz, we don't say anything. We're not supposed to say anything. We're supposed to listen. Why over here does the Gemara ask, what does everybody say? So the avudram says as follows. The purpose of Moidim is different than the rest of Tefillah. The rest of Tefillah is we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever we need. And the halach is, under certain circumstances, that a person could be yaitz saying the Tefillah not by himself, the Shatz could say the Tefillah on his behalf. Maidim represents thank you. You can't say thank you through a shliach. That's just the opposite of a thank you. If I want to say thank you to you, I'm going to ask somebody else to say thank you on my behalf. What kind of a thank you is that? How do I even have the respect to say the thank you myself? So obviously, the Gemara knows, says the Avodram, that we have to say our own Maidim. The question is, what is the Maidim that said? So Amar Rav, Maidim anach lucha Hashem alakeinu, ashon Maidim lach. V'Shmuel says, alakei kabosar al shon Maidim lach. So Mefarshim, the Gro, explains, what's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? So there's two ways that he says. One, he says, is the machlokes in the Gemara, if Mashiach could come, even if Klal Yisrael don't do tshuva ma'isim tovim. One man Dama says, only if Klal Yisrael will do tshuva will Mashiach come. The other man Dama says, the Mashiach will come anyway. That's the machlokes. Rav says, when will Mashiach come? When we recognize that everything is from Hashem. Shmuel says, Alakai kol basar. Even if we're still going to be basar, even if we're going to still be gashmius, basar represents the lowest level, Mashiach can come. Another pshat is the Rav said, it's our obligation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our neshama, with our mind, with our ruchnius. And Shmuel said, Al Kaika Basar. We even have to utilize the Basar. We even have to use the Gashmias, the Basar Adam, in service of Hashem. Reb Samar Yomer, Yetzreinu Yotze Bereishis, Ashen Adam Melach. And what he means to add is that the entire creation of the world, Yetzreinu Yotze Bereishis, was all created for Avodas Hashem. Now, Doram Mishmeid Reb Samar, Brachas Vaidoyas Lashimcha Agodl, Al Shechi Yisanu V'Kiyam Tanu, Ashen Adam Melach. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for instilling into us Ruchnius. Reb Achav Ayak Mesayim Hachi. Kent chayenu v'sechanenu v'sekabtzenu v'sesuv goyesenu lachatris chachecha lishma chukecha lasas v'tzoyncha b'loiv av sholem ashan namayim lach. And the Farshim say, we know it says in Pirkei Avos, ashlosh dvar ma'olam oimed v'atayra v'alavoida v'agamilas chasadim. So every day when we say it, we're reflecting on that. Chukecha refers to Torah, and v'chukaisai taleichu Shetiyu Amelim B'Tayra. Lasas Ritzoyncha means Chesed. It's our job. What's the Ratzon of Hashem? That we should do Chesed, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly doing Chesed with us. V'Lev of Shalem, Ezo Avoidah Shevelev, Zuh Tefillah, which is Avoidah. Here we have Torah, Gemil Chesedim Avoidah. Omra Papa, Hiklach Nemerinu Kula. What do? We go and we say all of the different Nuschos. We combine them into one nusach, and that's why it's called Moedim D'Rabbanan. Why is it called Moedim D'Rabbanan? Because the nusach of the Moedim D'Rabbanan reflects a combination of nuschos that were composed by different Rabbanan. The Yerushalmi nusach is that it ends with the words Baruch Ato Hashem Kel Hoidos, but that's not our nusach. We say Baruch Kel Hoidos. One more pshat, why it's called Moedim D'Rabbanan, is we know, number Masechtas, we just ended Masechta Nazir recently, and with Talmidei Chachomim, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Here, we make peace amongst all the Talmidei Chachomim. We have a number of opinions amongst the Talmidei Chachomim what to say, and then we go and combine them into one Nusach. Le'motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kli Machzik Bracha Ala Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing greater by HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Shalom. So here we're saying Moedim D'Rabbanan because we made Shalom amongst all the Rabbanan. Am Rav Yitzchak, La'olam Tei Emes Sibar Alecha. Person has to have fear and respect for the community. Shrei Kahanim Pneim Klapei Am. The Kahanim, when they say Birkus Kahanim, face the people, V'chreim, and their backs are facing the Orin, Klapei Shechina. So Farshim say, the Rambam discusses this, how taka, how is it appropriate? The question really comes up every time a Rav says a drosha, a shir, and he stands at the pulpit with his back facing the Oren, how does he do it? In fact, there are many Rabbanim who have the minig that before they begin saying such a drosha, they kiss the pareiches, to so to speak, ask mechila from the Oren, that they may be not showing the proper respect. So the Rambam says that since the Oren is closed and it's also a separate Rishus, that's why it's not considered really an act of disrespect. And that's how the Mefarshim explain our Gemara. You have here a challenge. You face the Oren and you have the back to the community. On the other hand, you have the back to the Oren. What do? So the answer is, we prefer to have the back to the Oren, because the Oren is in a separate Rishus, and it's closed, facing your back to the people would be a bigger sign of disrespect. And the morale explains, our Gemara is teaching us the importance of showing respect to the Tzibur. What does that mean? What's so special about a Tzibur? Says the morale, a Tzibur represents many different people. Many different people represent a lot of different talents, and a lot of different abilities, all melding and coming together. And that's something that should be respected. Rav Nachman Amar Mahochel. Rav Nachman proves that respect for the Tzibur from this pasuk. The pasuk says, "For Yochum Hamelech David Araglof, David Hamelech stood up, V'yomer Shemuni Achi V'Ami. Listen to me, my brothers and my nation." Im achi lama ami. So the question is, are they his brothers or are they his nation? Vim ami lama achi. Are they his nation or his brothers? Amar Belazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, Amalam Davar Yisrael. David HaMelech was telling Klal Yisrael, Im Atem Shemeli, if you listen to what I have to say, Achi Atem, then you are my brother. From Lav, Ami Atem, you will only be considered my nation, Vani Roy Deschem Memakel, and I will treat you harshly. So how is it proven from here that David HaMelech was showing Kavod HaTzibur? So the Meiri has a very simple pshat. He says the fact that David HaMelech stood up, he's the king. As we're going to learn, a king is even allowed to sit in the Azara. David HaMelech, showing respect to the community, stood up. That's a sign that everybody has to show respect to the community. The other pshat that I saw is that why did he say Achi v'Ami? Why didn't he say Ami v'Achi? To show that the preferable way is Achi, you're my brothers, that I have to show you respect. But according to this pshat, we know, and we're going to learn in the Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, that Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, we have to show respect to the king. So how is David HaMelech able to forgive that requirement and stand up in respect for the Tzibur? So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is that this was the time that David HaMelech was giving over, transitioning the kingdom to Shlomo HaMelech, and that's supposed to be done with respect, standing. Another text that I saw is David HaMelech at this point was making an appeal for tzedakah, that the people should should contribute for the new Beis HaMikdash. And when somebody makes an appeal, he's supposed to stand. Rabbanu Amar Mahakri. The Rabbanim prove it from here. Eina kohanim rishoyim laos b'sandleim l'duchen. The kohanim may not go up wearing shoes when they duchen. This is one of the things that Rechem Zakai instituted. My Tama, why are they not allowed to wear shoes? It's not respectful because the shoes could be dirty. So you see, there's a concept of Kfayet Tzibur. Says Rav Ashi Loi, that's not the reason why Kohanim have to take off the shoes when they duchen. Hasan, the reason they have to take off the shoes is Shemanifsikal Arut Suba Sandloi. We're concerned that maybe the shoelace will open up, v'hada ozel mikdrei, and he may bend down by Birkus Kahanim to tie it, v'hamri, and people will say, you know why he's bending down? He's not participating in Birkus Kahanim, because ben grusha ben chalutzuhu. And that's why you're not allowed to wear shoes. The Mefarshim asks, the Torah Evan asks, yesterday we said that if somebody just misses Birkus Kahanim once in a while, we're not going to accuse him that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. And here, one time, his shoelace is not going to open every time. Why are we, for one time, concerned that people are going to consider him ben grusha ben chalutza? So I saw three terutzim. One terutz is that Bezdin, just because one time he isn't participating, is not considering him ben grusha ben chalutza. But there may be somebody in the shul who doesn't come. He's from a guest. And this time he sees that he's not participating, he'll say it must be because he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. Another teretz is that the kohen may be a guest in a different community. And if he's wearing a shoe, punkt then, he'll have to tie a shoe. And he doesn't live here on a permanent basis that people will know that he's really not a problem. A third teretz is it's much worse, say to Mefarshim, not to go up and bend down than not to go up. If somebody doesn't go up, they'll say there's a reason he didn't go up. But he went up and didn't participate, it must be he recognized that there's something wrong with him. And that's our minig, that's the halacha, not the minig, that the kohanim take off the shoes. This is machlokes, should they take off the shoes before washing, or should they take it off after washing? I really think it's not really a halachic machlokes, it's a practical machlokes. If there's a way of taking off the shoes without touching them after washing your hands, you take them off afterwards. If you're going to have to touch your shoes, then you should take them off before. The Paiskim also point out that when the Kohanim take off the shoes, it's still a shul. They have to be careful not to leave the shoes in the middle of the room. They should leave the shoes in a discreet place still to keep respect for the Tzibur. There's an interesting, for the Beis HaKnesses, there's a very interesting tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer. We know the Tzitz Eliezer was the Rav of Shaar Tzedek Hospital. He said there were people in the hospital who were people who were not well, obviously. They came to shul and they were kahanim, and they didn't want to take off their shoes, their slippers, because the floor in Israel, we know, is a stone floor. They were concerned they're sick anyway, they're going to get cold. So what was the halacha? So he says, certainly, halacha, one has to be very careful to keep the shoe, take off the shoes. He says, however, under those circumstances, if they're not wearing leather shoes anyway, the concern is when you're wearing leather shoes with shoelaces, here they're not wearing shoes with shoelaces. And many places can point out, the Gemara says, they're not allowed to go up to the platform. But let's say this shul doesn't have a platform, or they don't go up to the platform, they stand still on the floor without going up, they may be b'shas atchak, k'duchin, wearing those non-leather slippers. We learned in the Mishnah, a migdash bracha achas. And the base of migdash, brichas kahanim, was one bracha. Outside, it was three brachas, because there was an amen said between each bracha. Says the Gemara, v'kakach lama, v'fisha ein oinen amen migdash. In the base of migdash, they didn't say amen. So since they didn't say amen, there was no way of separating the three brachas. So it's one bracha. So Yashav explains the Gemara very nicely. He says, it's not to be understood, is it three brachas or one bracha? He says, it's certainly one bracha. Just in outside the base of Mikdash area, where we have a way of separating by not saying Amen. So, by saying Amen, we separate. But that doesn't change, it's one bracha. And that's why he says, if we know that you won't be able to say all three psukim of Birkas Kahanim, don't begin. In Beis HaMikdash, there's no way of separating because we don't say Amen. Therefore, we say it in one without separation. So, why Taka is Amen not said in the Beis HaMikdash? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because Amen is said to represent that we have a moon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once somebody stands in the Beis HaMikdash where the Gilui Shechinah is so obvious, you don't have to have, there's obvious that you have a Muna. Along the same line, the Gemara says, the Kol Aina Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, Karm Le Gzar Dinov. By saying Amen, we're able to have any bad decree against us ripped up. But that isn't a concern in the Beis HaMikdash, where our tefillahs were always listened to. Tana Bonin, Menayin Shein Aina Amen Yeheshmei. How do we know that Amen is not said in the Beis HaMikdash? Shenema Kumu Ubarchu Es Hashem Alekechem Min Oilam Vera Oilam. They said Baruch Shem Kvay Machusoy. So asks Taisus, if they said Baruch Shem Kvay Machusoy, they're not saying Amen, but they're saying Baruch Shem Kvay Machusoy. So why don't they interrupt between each of the psukim of Birkas Kahanim with saying Baruch Shem? So the Rosh answers that question, that the only time they said Baruch Shem was when they were saying the Shem Hashem in honor of Hashem. Here they weren't saying the Shem Hashem in honor of Hashem. They were saying Baruch Shem. They were saying the Shem Hashem as part of Birkas Kahanim. Then they don't say Baruch Shem. Taisus, however, answers that when did they say Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Elayim Voed? They said it when they heard the Shem Hashem. That's not between the Psukim. That's the middle of the Pasuk. Our Gemara wants that they should say it between the Psukim. That's not a possibility. V'nayin shakla bracha bracha tila. How do we know that every time they said bracha, they said Baruch Shem. Shnema, Baruch Shem Kvaydecha, Umrayma Ka Bracha Sila. A Ka Bracha Bracha, for every bracha that you hear in the Beis HaMikdash, Tehillah Tehillah, by saying Baruch Shem. And as the Malbim explains, the proof is, the Pasuk says, Baruch Shem Kvaydecha, Umrayma Ka Bracha Sila. The Pasuk doesn't say, Umrayma Al Ka Bracha, for Al Ka Tehillah. It says, I'll call bracha v'si'ila to connect the tehillah to the bracha. We spoke about it at the beginning of the parak, the brichas kain gadol. What does that mean? Ketzat. What exactly happened on Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara. Chazan HaKnesses. Says the Mishnah. Chazan HaKnesses. The Chazan HaKnesses is the person who's like the gabbai who took care of everything in the Beis HaKnesses of the Beis HaMikdash. He goes and gives it to the president. The Kohen Gadol had a scan, a backup Kohen Gadol. Scan Noisen Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol Oymen Mekavel Kari. He goes and receives it and reads from the Torah, the parsha of Achri Mois, and the parsha of Ach Be'Osir. And then the Goyle has a Torah. Then he rolls up the Sefer Torah. We'll discuss these halachas more mitzvah tomorrow shir, and menicha b'cheiko, and he puts it into his lap. V'ayim yosem mashakarosu lefneichem, much more than what I read, Kosov Khan is written into the Sefer Torah. U'v'esh v'chadosh v'kudim, in Pashas Bamidbar, he doesn't read from inside the Sefer, Kairal Peh. He reads it out loud. So Mefarsh Mask, we know that the halach is, Tvarash B'Ksav, Yat Rishon Lomer Al Peh. So how could Divrei Torah from a Chumash be read Al Peh? So one teretz that I saw is that that's only when we're doing it to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriya Sefer Torah. Here we're not doing it for the purpose of Mitzvahs Kriya Sefer Torah, and that's why it could be read Bal Peh. Another teretz is, that's only when somebody's coming to be Mitzi the Tzibur. The obligation of Kriya on Yom Kippur is the Kohen's, God's private obligation, and he's not being Mitzi someone else, and that's why he could read it Bal Peh. Another teretz is, Es Lasus Lashem Eferi Teresecha. As we're going to learn tomorrow, Shir, there really wasn't a possibility for him to read it inside the Sefer. So they made a special rule that even though usually the Divrei Torah cannot be written, cannot be said by heart, here they allowed it. Then eight brachas are said, Al Torah, Val Avoda, Val Hayda, Val Mechilas Oven, Val Migdash, Val Yisrael, Val Kahanim, Val Yerushalayim, Val Shar, and then he says a tefillah, we'll say the exact nusach of the tefillah in tomorrow, Shir. Mefarshim discuss, the Gemara discusses the brachas that are said after the Kriya. What about the bracha before? So some say, it's obvious that a bracha is said before. Like every time you get an Aliyah, you make a bracha before. That we didn't need the Mishnah to mention. However, there are others that suggest that the bracha before Kriya HaTorah was not said by the Kohen. Again, with the Shagas Aryeh. Again, with the same lomdus that we just said. When is there a chiv to make a bracha before you get an Aliyah? When there's a chiv for the Tzibur to have Kriya HaTorah. So part of that chiv is that a bracha is said before you get the aliyah. But this is not a tzibur's chiv, it's the Kohen Gadol's private chiv, and therefore the brich satayri that is said in the morning is satisfactory for this laning, and he doesn't make a new bracha before he gets the aliyah. So the Mishnah began describing the entire process, how the Sefer Torah was given from one to the next person. Shema minachok and kavla talmud b'mokam arav. The Kohen Gadol is the greatest person here, and we're showing respect by the Chazan giving it to the Rosh HaKnesses, and the Rosh HaKnesses giving it to the Skan. We're giving them honor in the place of the Kohen Gadol, which is really the subject of a Machloikis, answers the Gemara, Rabbi Kul Mashim Kfoyde, the Kohen Gadol here. We're really showing great respect to the Kohen Gadol, how there's such a long process until the Sefer Torah ultimately gets to him. The Kohen Gadol, Oidim Mekavel Kairi, asked the Gemara, Oimit, he gets up. That means he was standing, sitting till now. The only people who are allowed to sit in the Azara are people from Malchus Beis. So how could the Kohen Gadol be sitting here? Answers the Gemara, this Kriyas HaTorah took place in Ezra's Noshim. Rav Chisda says regarding a different subject. Here too, Hachanam Be'ezras Noshim, Ezras Noshim, everybody could sit down. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in Abraisa, Ve'echa Karim Be'ezara, Rebbe Lezo, Ben Yaakov, Amma, Be'har Abayis, Shenem Ve'yikr Ba, Lefnei Rav Choyv, Ash Lefnei Asher Mayim. So here it says that it took place in the Azara. How could a Kohen Gadol sit? Says the Gemara, the same Teretz, Amrav Chizda Be'ezras Noshim, where sitting is permitted.